It's time for Outdoors with Luke Clayton on your station, 88.9 KETR.
Well, folks, it's your old buddy Luke Clayton, and it is once again time here on KETR for us to spend about 15 minutes and talk about hunting and fishing or floods. You know, Lake Texoma is higher in elevation than it was a week ago than it had ever been. Larry Sparks has been with us many times. He's on the dock right now down there, and actually on the parking lot. The dock's probably floating right now. But Larry's going to tell us what it's like, what conditions are like up there at Lake Texoma. Larry, thank you, buddy, for being with
us.
Hey,
man. It's good to be here.
Yeah, I think, you know, I'm not looking at you right now. We're on the phone, and I have a feeling you're not on the dock.
Well, hey, the docks are sitting out there. I can see them from the people that's been down here. We're loading customers right where they park, and we load our boats in that where they park their vehicles at Alberta Creek. That's where we come out of. So you can imagine the docks are about 100 yards on out from the bank now.
Yeah, I'm usually talking to you when you're either sitting in the boat on the dock or whatever.
Right.
You know,
right.
Larry, I remember doing a couple of newspaper articles and a magazine article back in the 90s sometime when the lake was flooded. In other words, I remember taking some pictures of a guy, the guy that I was fishing with, catching a striper right on, it was hooked within 3 or 4 feet of a picnic table at a park, you know. And don't ask me where all that took place, but it was at a park that was flooded. Well, Texoma last week recorded higher than that record flood.
Can't see the picnic tables now, Luke.
No, well, that tells me a lot right there. You know, because they were, they were sticking up, the tops of them were. Well, you know, the funny thing is, or to me it seems odd, you guys, you know, you run a fleet of boats up there, and you guys are catching the heck out of those stripers right now. I mean,
yes, we are. I mean, fishing's good. We've been running about 3 trips a day out of the lake boats, and we got the airboat now ready to go, and it's been good too. So, you know, we're doing the river and the lake right now, and lots of success.
That's something, the river. Now, I first fished the Red River below the Eisenhower Dam there at Texoma probably 20 years ago. I'm just guessing. It might have been a little longer than that. But I still remember, and it was post-flood after a lot of water had come through and put a lot of restocked the river with stripers. You know, that is some of the most fun fishing in the world. Y'all use airboats. And I remember, and I know the program right there at the spillway has got to be much the same. Motor up there close to the area that you, the restricted area, don't get in it, of course, but up close, and then drop the big live baits out and free line them and drift back, right?
That's the same thing, Luke.
It's yeah.
Just, you know, and when you do, you want to hang on because something's going to happen.
Oh, I mean, that's and the neat thing about that is, you know, I'm an old fisherman. I'm used to getting up way before daylight. But that thing, I remember back when I used to do that, you could go at daylight, you could go at noon. It didn't make any difference.
We will run trips all day long down there, you know. So, I mean, that way we can get somebody that can't get out till 2 or 3 o'clock in the day, and they still got time to come down and go get on a boat and go for a trip.
You bet. Well, I'll tell you one thing. That is something that I will mark my calendar on, and I see a rejuvenation of the old school days of fishing right there, because I haven't done that. Well, it just hasn't been available for a decade, has it, down there like
that? No, it hasn't, Luke. You know, we did a little in 07. It's the last time that we really had some pretty decent fishing.
That's been 8 years ago. Yeah.
That's been a while.
I think I did a newspaper article with you way down the river on catfishing back then.
Yes, we did.
About that.
Yes, we did. It's after, a little after that.
Uh-huh.
We sure did.
It was a little after that. Well, that's, I think, the big news right now Larry, at Texoma is even in these flooded conditions, I mean, the fishing, the striper fishing, your team of guides, y'all are, I saw, been looking at the pictures you've sent me, they're catching the daylights out of those stripers up there. And then the news is, just looking ahead, well, right now, to plan a river trip, that's available too, so a lot of options.
Yeah, that's a bonus.
You bet, a lot of options.
That's a bonus.
These guys that might live around Northeast Texas or wherever and don't really want to get up at 3 o'clock and drive to Texoma to go fishing or don't want to spend the night up there and fish, when this river deal kicks off, I mean, you can be there at noon. That's the neat thing.
And all, you know, and all they got to do is just drive. We just meet them there at the behind the dam. Pretty easy access for people that's coming from North Texas. Just, you know, we meet them right there and they can hop in the boat about a minute, you're fishing.
Exactly. Well, Larry, I do appreciate you taking some time to update us on the flood that was. I know the water's receded a little bit. It's still plenty high up there, and the good thing is that river's going to be awesome fishing for months ahead. Invite everybody to the website, Larry, and then a number where if they want some more information on Texoma, where they could call you.
You bet, Luke. Hey, my website, Sparky's Guide Service .com. Just Sparky's Guide Service .com. My phone number is 580-916-2293.
Okay, and Larry, that's the website. Folks, it's spelled Sparky's, SparkysGuideService.com. Well, we'll get you back. I want to talk some more about the river, and I want you to keep us tuned in because that's an awesome fishery that's just about to kick off. I'll get you back soon. How about it, Larry?
All right, sounds good.
Well, folks, you know, Lake Texoma is as high as it's ever been. As I mentioned there just a bit ago, I remember doing some stories back there post-flood probably 20 years ago when we were catching those old stripers on around picnic tables in the flooded parks. And Larry says that those picnic tables now are completely underwater. So the river fishing, what I want you to think about, the river fishing down there in the Red River below the Eisenhower Dam is going to be unbelievable starting about right now. That river system is restocked with stripers. And if you've never been down there in an airboat, somebody that fishes that stretch of river, do it. It's so much fun catching them on live bait, big old stripers down there. Or a lot of times we have been, you know, pull up on an island and use topwater plugs and catch a bunch of them like that. But, you know, Lake Fork, the big bass bite is going on, has been going on, but guide Seth Vanover has been with us many, many times. He's standing by, I believe he is, and we're going to talk about catching big bass at Fork. Seth, are you with us, buddy?
I sure am, Luke. Thanks for having me.
You bet. We're always glad to have you, man. And I was impressed with the size of those 10, 11, 12-pound stripers, those pictures, stripers. I'm still, Seth, I'm still up at Texoma, buddy. Those big bass that you've been sending those pictures of, your clients have been whacking those things, haven't they?
Yeah, we are. We're on a pretty good bass bite right now, the way I do it, and it is fun.
Well, you've been waiting for the bass to get on the Seth pattern, and that's using these big old perch the size of your hand, some of them, big perch that the bass will not ingest, you know, suck in their gullet. This is all catch and release fishing, and live bait fishing, if you use a small bait and let that bass suck that thing on in his gullet, you know, and you don't handle it, if you don't cut the line, the truth of the matter is that's not a good practice. The way you do it, it's all catch and release, isn't it?
Every one of them are caught and swam away to get caught another day.
That's right. Now, tell us some tips on what you're doing. You're obviously not dragging a plastic worm up around the bank. You're out there in some deeper water dropping those big perch down, right?
That's it. It's basically just a overgrown drop shot rig is all it is. We're using extra heavy rods, 50-pound monofilament line. Any bass reel will work. And we're using a 1-ounce weight tied on the bottom and a 9-aught hook, Palomar knot tied in about 2 feet above the weight. dropping it straight down.
How are you hooking the perch, Seth?
Just right on top of the back in front of the fin. Just right under the meat.
Right there under the, kind of under the dorsal, right there in front of the dorsal fin.
Right there in the front of the dorsal, between there and the eyeball. Just a little hook in there, and that's it.
That gives them plenty of mobility, but I guess the weight is there. Well, that slows them down from running sideways a whole bunch, but you really don't want them moving horizontally out away from under the boat because they're getting hung up, right?
Yeah, you got to have some kind of weight on them, but you don't want too much weight, and that 1 ounce weight seems to do the trick. If you just let them down there and free spool them, you're just going to spend your day hung up.
They're going to go to the nearest tree and go around it about 50 times, and you're hung up, aren't you?
Right. Yeah, you gotta have some control over the fish. Even that 50-pound test, when a bass hits it, you got to be able to work them out of some cover, and you don't want to start out in cover mm-hmm. with the brim wrapping you around.
Right. So now is a prime time to get down there and catch a 10, 12, maybe even a bigger bass, and that's what your clients are doing every day. I will reiterate, it's all catch and release, folks. I've done this with Seth, and he knows what he's doing. It's not like you're dropping a crappie minnow down with a Aberdeen hook and catching a 10-pound bass and letting him swallow it. It's these fish are hooked in the mouth. Catfish, you know, are a weakness of mine, Seth. I love to catch and eat those channel catfish, and Fork is about as good as it gets for catching big ones. You're still, your clients, and you're hammering those things shallow still, aren't you?
Yeah, we're still on a solid, on a gangbuster shallow bite right now. It's just one after another. You can fill a 94-quart cooler up quick.
Man, and this is using your, the bait you use is Stubby's catfish bait. I'm sure any kind of good bait, prepared bait, or if you even want to fish with liver, whatever, but that's a cleaner, one of the cleanest punch baits, or cheese baits, if you will, that I've ever used. It's not foul smelling, but it's very, very effective, and some of the stuff you better either use, the name punch bait comes from using a punch stick, I used to take an old screwdriver and put a notch in the end of it, you know, and punch that hook down in the bucket.
Yeah.
Well, with this, you can contact your hands with it and not have to worry too much. So it's a cleaner bait. And you're using a float too, aren't you?
Yeah, we're just using just a regular old clip-on cork and pitching it out there and let the bait sit on bottom. And it just, the cork allows, it brings the kid back in me. I love that part of it. But you can chunk it out there and tight line it if you want to. But I like watching the cork go down.
You know I do too, man. It just, see that old cork. Just, and the way they were hitting it, you know, I fished with you there, Seth, about a month ago now, and there wasn't any bobbling. I mean, you did watching that cork 1 second, and the next second it was long gone, wasn't it?
It was. It's still the same way.
That's good, buddy. Well, let's do this. Let's make sure everybody listening up in Northeast Texas can connect with you. Lake Fork Cat and Crappie, folks, is the website, .com, lakeforkcatandcrappie.com. Lake Fork Cat and Crappie on Facebook. If you go there and like that, Seth will keep you tuned in on what's going on down there at Fork. Seth, how about a phone number if they want to call you?
You bet. 903-736-4557.
Well, I really appreciate you keeping everyone tuned in, Seth, and we're going to get you back real soon. How about it?
All right, Luke. Thanks, bud.
Folks, this is Luke Clayton, and I really appreciate you tuning in each week. Today's show was made possible by the Dallas Safari Club, Rhino Steel Buildings, Margaret Holmes, and Glory Brand Seasoned Canned Goods, Hunter Supply, Snaplock Hunting Blinds, the Texas Deer Association, R&L Air Gun Supply, Smokin' Tex Electric Smokers, Air Guns of Texas, and Sun Optics USA. Make sure and tune in this time next week. We're going to have some more fun talking hunting and fishing.
Luke Clayton has been addicted to everything outdoors since his childhood. He grew up hunting and fishing in rural Northeast Texas. Luke pens a weekly newspaper column that appears in over 50 newspapers. For videos, archived newspaper articles, and more information, visit catfishradio.com. This has been Outdoors with Luke Clayton on your station, 88.9 KETR.